Welcome to another episode of Let's Open a Bottle, the podcast brought to you by Brian Spain Domain, where we talk about the Spanish wine revolution and how it has come to flourish over the past few decades. And by understanding the diversity of Spanish wine, we can also understand the diversity of this country. Today, we are heading to the south of Spain, to the region of Andalusia. This time of year, April and May, is a festive time in Andalusia, which is notable because we are talking about a region which already boasts a healthy reputation for its love of festivities. But there is something about springtime that brings out the best of this region, and an obligatory member of these fiestas, these parties, is the age-old wine from those parts, the one and only, the one-of-a-kind, the singular, sherry. Talking about sherry is to talk about a whole different world of wine itself. So much about it is special. There's this kind of mystique to it. The process is so different from the rest of the wines. In fact, I sometimes hesitate to call it a wine. It's not white wine, red wine, rosé, sparkling, or any of those kinds. It's simply sherry. The depth of this world and the broadness seems at times limitless. I have a book on the subject just on sherry wine, and it's 600 pages long, so it's crazy. You have all this history behind it. The history it made, the tradition, its good moments, its high points, and then its busts. And then you have the complexity of the drink itself. So it's a fascinating subject. And it's a particularly good time to talk about it because now sherry is making a comeback, and that's good news for everyone. Now, let's get to the basics of how you make this wine, because this is an episode in itself, and we will probably focus on just some of them for today. My plan is to devote probably 3 episodes to sherry. There's just that much to talk about. And that comes in stark contrast to what I usually do, which is devote 1 episode per wine region, even the big ones. Anyway, hopefully we will also be able to clear up some confusion about sherry, and that's because there are so many types of sherry that the word itself doesn't sufficiently encompass all of them. By that I mean when a friend from London, say, tells me they had a glass of sherry, about 10 different wines come to mind as a possibility, and they can be completely different. I generally need to have more information to know what they had. So with any luck, I will be able to explain that too. Before we get to that, let's find out where it's all from. Sherry comes from the province of Cádiz, which is a province in the southern tip of Spain, in Andalusia. And there are 3 main towns that make up what they call the triangle of that region. You have the city of Jerez de la Frontera, then you have Puerto de Santa María, which is about 15 minutes away, and then you have Sanlúcar de Barrameda, which is about 30 kilometers to the west. Generally, they just call it Sanlúcar. Sherry actually gets its name from the old name of the town Jerez, which sounded something like Sherez or Sherez, probably from the Arabic, and also potentially from an earlier language like Phoenician. The DO, the official region, is actually known as Jerez-Sherry, and it's the same name in Spanish, French, and English. It's sort of an unusual name for the region. You'd think they'd just call it Jerez or something like that, but this is actually done partly to prevent copyright issues, sort of the way the Champagne can officially only be from the region of Champagne, and anything outside of that region has to give it a different name. Now let's move on to the wines. As I was telling you, you have all kinds of sherry. You have your dry sherries, your fortified sherries, basically. Then you have some sherry liqueurs, which are mediums, and your creams. And then you have your natural sweet sherries. And those are sort of the three major groups. We will have to break this down as simply as we can. And hopefully I will be successful at doing that. First of all, let's find out what sherry is in general. Most sherry is what we call a fortified wine. Simply put, that means you take regular wine, add alcohol to it so that the total alcohol by volume is higher than regular wine. In other words, if regular wine is usually somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 14.5% by volume, sherry starts at 15% and can go all the way as high as 22%. And they do that so they can age it in a special way. And that's the basic idea. As I said, the reason we add more alcohol to it is because the wine is going to be, in many cases, in contact with oxygen. And we don't want the wine to spoil or to go bad. The higher the alcohol content, the better it resists. It also allows for controlled aging, controlled oxidation, as we will see, which allows it to obtain incredibly complex aromas and flavors. But it's more complex than that because depending on how much alcohol we add, we will perform a different type of aging system. So just to sum up again, a fortified wine is a regular wine to which alcohol is added so that they can perform a special aging system. The major types of fortified sherry are actually dry sherry, and they are the following. You have fino, and then you have manzanilla, which is fino, but produced in the town of Sanlúcar. Then you have amontillado, oloroso, and palo cortado. As you would expect, there are more variations, but we will stop here for the moment and focus on the five I'm talking about. Now, first, we make the wine, and we use a wine grape known as palomino. Palomino is actually grown in other parts of Spain, sometimes under different names like Listan Blanco, but it's the clear protagonist here. The wineries make a light white wine, about 11% by volume, which would be a very light white wine. As a wine itself, Palomino wines are neutral, meaning they sort of lack any outstanding aromatic or taste features. But that doesn't make it bad necessarily. And in fact, for the type of aging that we're going to do, it's a perfectly fine wine. Palomino is also a fleshy grape, and it can be pressed several times. The first pressing produces the best juice. The juice is often called must, M-U-S-T. And that is normally set aside for the more elegant finos and manzanillas. Then you have the second pressing and even a third, and that must usually ends up being the liquid for the long-term aging wines like Olorosos. From there, we fortify the wine with different aims in mind. If we raise the alcohol level to between 15 and 17%, we can start to make that basic kind of sherry, the kind that requires generally less time in crianza or aging. And this sherry is called fino, which sort of means fine or delicate. And it's a dry, pale, straw color sherry, like a white wine in a sense, but with completely different characteristics. Now, let me tell you how fino is made, because this is a really curious system. As I said, alcohol is added to help with the aging process. but they only raise it to between 15 and 17%. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason why they do that. The wine is placed in a large cask, often called a butt, B-U-T-T, but not all the way to the top. The cask is filled about 5/6 of the way up. And that allows for a space at the top, and that space will allow for a foamy film to sort of form on the top of the wine, over the wine. Now, when you see it, and this is often something that they show to you when you go to a winery, they'll have a cask with a glass window, a clear window on one end, and some sort of light in the background that will allow you to see this film. So anyway, when you see it, it doesn't look like the prettiest substance in the world. In fact, it looks like something you might find in a river next to a factory. This is no exaggeration. The Spanish give a name which I consider to be the euphemism of all time. They call it velo de flor, which is veil of flower, or just the flor, flower. Now, despite its less than appetizing appearance, the flor actually plays a vital role. In fact, it's yeast, and it covers the wine and protects it from air, sort of in the same way, for example, the skin of a fruit protects the fruit. And what this does is allow for a process of what is known as biological aging. But we're not finished there. Then comes the next process, which is sort of generically known as solera, S-O-L-E-R-A. Once again, this is a fairly complex technique, not easy to explain in such a brief amount of time. But basically, what happens is that these butts, these casks, are stacked up upon each other 4 rows high. And the wine at the top row is the youngest, the most recent wine. And the wine at the bottom row is the oldest. Now, they don't fill up these casks, like in the top row, with the young wine. That cask already has some wine. It's about halfway filled. And what they do is they add another third or so of new wine to that wine that's already there. And the whole thing begins to blend. After a period of aging, the wine in the top row is transferred to the wine in the next row, but once again, not all at once. It happens about a third at a time, and then it goes to the next row below, and so on. There are many advantages to this system. Some include the fact that the flavors and characteristics of the older wine is passed on to the younger wine, and it also usually means that the younger wine, if it is not the same quality as it should be, will actually take on the quality of the older wine. So in a sense, vintages are not important, which is why you will never see the year of the vintage on a bottle of sherry, because it has wine from many, many different years. In any event, after about 2 or 3 years, Finos are ready for bottling and selling. As I was telling you before, there's another kind of fino called manzanilla. And basically the only difference is that it is not made in Jerez de la Frontera or El Puerto de Santa Maria, but in the nearby seaside town of Sanlúcar. So on paper, they would sound like the same wine, but to many they aren't. Tradition has it that the salty sea air next to Sanlúcar adds a different quality, a different bouquet, and a different flavor to the wine. So anyway, that's Fino and Manzanilla, probably the two most common sherries that you find around. Then you have a sherry called Amontillado. Amontillados start out as Fino. By that I mean they have that layer of flor on top of the wine, but they keep it there for a longer time, and that flor eventually disappears, and then the Amontillado stays into the cask and starts to age in a slow oxidative process. Amontillados are darker, but still dry. The word amontillado basically means Montilla-style fortified wine. And that's because there's a town north of Jerez called Montilla. It actually has its own DO. It's its own region. And that's where the name comes from. This wine also might sound familiar to us if we recall Edgar Allan Poe and his story about the analysis of a murder. It's called The Cask of Amontillado. I remember reading that story in high school. Well, that's that type of wine. Then you have olorosos, which sort of mean aromatic. And this is a slightly different type of fortified sherry. And the reason I say that is that what they do is they add more alcohol by volume than in the finos. They actually reach 17.5% at least, and up to 20, maybe 22%. And that's an important difference because that slightly higher alcohol level prevents the floor from developing on the wine. So the wine will not go through the biological aging process. Instead, it will be subjected to oxidative aging. And that's another reason why you need more alcohol, so it doesn't spoil. Olorosos normally take longer to reach the market because the aging system is slower. And then finally, you have what they call a palo cortado. This is a wine that was very uncommon in the past, and it was kind of an anecdote that the winemakers would tell you about when you went to visit their wineries, sort of a kind of curiosity. This type of sherry comes when the winemaker was originally trying to make some fino, has decided that it's not going to be fino, it's not fine enough to become fino, and so decides to kill the floor by adding more alcohol, and then the rest of the process is oxidative, like the Oloroso. So it's sort of a half and half. As I was saying, palo cortados were very uncommon, especially at a bar. You would rarely find one, but now they've become quite popular. Now you see them all over the place. The aging of these wines can go on for years. Since, however, wines are blended in the casks from different years to often dozens of different years, it is essentially impossible at times to know exactly how old it is, or at least seemingly so. But there is a method behind the madness, and the wineries do have a way of getting sort of a general idea depending on what wine they select, where they deposit it, and then they'll have external groups come in and analyze it, and it must have certain characteristics that are typical of a minimum number of years, and that's one of the ways they do it. Anyway, you will sometimes see bottles that have the letters VOS, which stands for Vinum Optimum Signatum, and that means the wine is at least 20 years old. That VOS is sometimes informally called Very Old Sherry. Probably is easier for people to understand. And then you might have bottles that will say VORS, which stands for Vinum Optimum Rare Signatum, or Very Old Rare Sherry. And that type of wine is at least 30 years, or more or less at least 30 years old. What do these sherries taste like? Well, this is important to know because many people will associate sherry with a certain sense of sweetness. In fact, a lot of sweetness. And that's because there are sweet sherries. But these are not sweet at all. In fact, they're quite dry. The finos and manzanillas, as I told you, are pale in color, like straw. They're very clear. They look like white wine, but they have a sort of strong, grassy bouquet. They can be quite fresh and crisp. Manzanillas are sometimes considered to be a little more delicate. From my personal experience, I sort of tend to agree with that, but both are delicious. Amontillados are slightly darker than finos and manzanillas. Though lighter than Olorosos, they are richer than the Finos and stand out for their nutty aroma. Olorosos have a famous nutty aroma to them. They are also dry. I mean, you look at them and you think, oh, this is going to be a sweet wine. Sorry, it's not like that at all. But they have a very complex flavor. They're darker, richer. The older they get, you get some really, really good stuff there. And the Palo Cortados, since they started out as Finos and then sort of end up being more like Olorosos, will have a combination of both kinds of wine. And as I was just telling you, all of these versions are the dry sherries, which may surprise you if you haven't had one at first, but give them time because they're really interesting wine. They're complex, sophisticated, and the preparation behind them is fascinating. Of late, you have wines, especially Finos and Manzanillas, and you will sometimes see the word enrama, E-N, and then R-A-M-A, which essentially refers to the fact that they are less filtered and thus less altered, and the result is sometimes a more flavorful wine. They're quite popular these days. And I think I'm going to stop there for the moment because we aren't nearly finished with this whole sherry thing. There are more types and more details to share, but I don't want this to get overwhelming. And it's probably getting a little overwhelming so far. But anyway, we will continue with this in the next episode. Don't miss it because it only gets more interesting. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spaindemain. Please feel free to send us comments or questions because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spaindemain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Cheers! Or salud, as they say in Spanish. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.